the goal of humanity, the goal of creation itself, to be in a place and in a relationship where we worship God and enjoy Him forever in peace and in purity and in holiness and in unity and in love and in fellowship and in beauty forever and ever. More than coming, more than suffering, more than dying, more than rising again, but rising as the head of the new creation. And all of this just isn't data or information, but it's a reality. It's a necessity. He is risen. And here's really an aha moment for the disciples on the road to Emmaus, isn't it? We've all had aha moments in our life where suddenly something becomes clear where it was unclear before. Now you see it. Now you get it. Now you understand it. And it was right in front of you before, but you didn't see it. I'm reminded of an image I had of this when I worked for Audi. We did an event at Whistler in Canada. Just an absolutely beautiful location. And we were going to have a breakfast on the top of the mountain. And we actually had to take a gondola all the way from our hotel at the bottom up to the top of the mountain. And I got there about 6 in the morning to help the staff set up. And there was like cloud cover that covered the whole basin and the whole village. And it's just an absolutely beautiful sight when you have it. But literally, it was just cloud cover. And you can't see anything. You don't even really know what's down there. And then by like 7:30 in the morning, all of that burned off. And it was just one of the most amazing and beautiful sights you've ever seen. Like, the fog is gone, it's cleared up, and what you couldn't see before is now magnificent and resplendent and beautiful. Aha! There it is. It's like going back and watching a movie or reading a book that now you know the end and you get it and you missed something all along. And when you go back and you watch it the second time or read it, you see all these signs. That's how it is with Scripture for us, going back. How could I miss that? I was blind, but now I see. That's how not only the travelers on the road to Emmaus, but any of us get it. It's not that some of us are really smart and, yeah, I get it. I got that the first time. That's obvious. It's a gift. You were blind, but now you see. You were deaf, but now you hear. You were dead, but now you're alive. All a gift. That's how we come to know Jesus, because He comes knowing us and calling us. It is interesting that though they are eyewitnesses to the resurrected Savior, they highlight the Word and the sacraments when they really recognize Jesus was during a worship service, during the preached Word and the breaking of the bread. Don't miss that, beloved. That's how almost everybody who's going to populate heaven will come to know the Savior. Only a few hundred saw the resurrected Savior. But what the resurrected Savior did to them was open up the Scriptures, and He broke bread and gave it to them. He had a worship service with them, and it was through hearing that they believed. They said, our hearts burned while He opened the Scriptures. We so want to see Jesus, but the ones who saw Jesus said, our hearts burned when we heard Him. When He opened up the Scriptures, we knew Him in the breaking of the bread. What we're going to do in a few moments is just not some trite ritual or a memorial. It is a participation, beloved, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This body was broken for you. This blood was shed for you. Do this in remembrance and participation of me. And note that they became the first gospelers, if you will. They went to the 11 and said, the Lord has risen indeed. Beloved, Christ has risen. And then the final point, not only did Jesus claim the necessity of His own resurrection, not only did Scriptures proclaim the necessity of the resurrection, but the testimony of the disciples will show that them as the eyewitnesses, as the church, are bearing testimony to the necessity of the resurrection. As the disciples from Emmaus, they go back after seeing all this, and they go and they talk to the disciples. And as they were talking about these things, all these things that the brothers on the road to Emmaus had seen, Jesus stood among them. And he said, "Peace be to you." Isn't that great that that's Jesus' first words to his disciples? Now, where were you knuckleheads on Friday night? "Peter, what is the deal? I've got a score to settle with you." Peace. Like nobody else in the world can give peace because of the crucifixion and resurrection. He can give a peace where your sins are forgiven, where there is no more condemnation, where there is an abiding presence and a relationship that is eternal and peaceful and harmonious. They were startled. Would you be? They were afraid. Would you be? They were doubting. Would you be? And Jesus says, "Why are you troubled? And why do your hearts arise? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see." Jesus is doing show and tell. Jesus invites their investigation. Jesus provides proof to help alleviate their doubts, to provide evidence. We have evidence for believing in Jesus Christ. It's not a leap of faith into the abyss, into the unknown. Hundreds of eyewitnesses are bearing witness that this guy was dead on Friday and alive on Sunday. He is risen. And it says, while they still, so they're touching him. And it says, while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling. What does that mean? They still disbelieved for joy. I think the best understanding of that is to say, they can scarcely believe it. Unbelievable. Wow. How marvelous. It'd be like if you had a child that went off to war and you thought that they had been killed in that war. And then one day, they show up on your doorstep. You'd be like, I can't believe it. You'd be full of joy. You'd disbelieve for joy. I can hardly believe it. I thought you were dead. I thought you were gone. But here he is. And note that it says, while they were eating broiled fish together. That's an inspired part of Scripture. Eating broiled fish together. He's not a ghost. He's not a phantom. He's not a mirage. He's a flesh and blood. He needs something to eat. They eat broiled fish. And he says, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand Scriptures. How did they get it? The Lord opened their minds. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. And he says to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." In other words, not only does Jesus Christ himself talk about the necessity of his resurrection, not only does all of Scripture talk about the necessity of the resurrection, but Jesus gives a mission, a message to the church. "You're my witnesses of these things," particularly to them first. They're the eyewitnesses that are going to end up writing the New Testament. The record of this historical event that we have is largely from them. "You are my witnesses of these things." And note that the end of the story again isn't the resurrection. Jesus didn't rise just for himself, beloved. Who did he rise for? He rose for us, for his church, for his people. So that message has to get out. "So I'm making you witnesses. Go to all the nations and proclaim to them that repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved." That is our message. That is our method. That is our hope. "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." They're the very foundation of the church. Jesus has said to Peter, "I will build my church on you." Not just on Peter, but on the confession that he had regarding the Christ. "You are the Christ, the living God." He saw him raised from the dead. He and hundreds of others and are bearing witness to it. Blessed are we when we hear and believe. Not only is the crucifixion necessary and the resurrection of Jesus necessary, but the mission of the church is the necessary means that God uses to seek and to save the lost. The mission that started in Jerusalem a couple thousand years ago has reached you in Loveland, Colorado. And as an ambassador of Jesus Christ this morning, I say, repent and believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. He is risen. Notice that Jesus' last act in the gospel is commending his disciples to God's care and his benediction. God is watching over them. Jesus lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And what is a good response to the blessings that God showers down upon us? They worshiped him with kind of sourness, right? They worshiped him with kind of a, They worshiped him with kind of a laissez-faire attitude. They worshiped him with what, beloved? Great joy. He is risen. Peace to you, and blessed are you who hear and believe, resting and trusting the person and work of Jesus Christ, who for us men and for our salvation was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. He is risen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the testimony that you have provided on the pages of history, on the pages of Scripture. And Father, we would be just like the disciples. We would just be like those on Emmaus. We would not have come to this realization or understanding on our own had you not given us the eyes of faith and ears to believe and hearts to believe, minds to understand. We thank you for this gift. We thank you that all that we have needed you have provided in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we do not serve a dead example but a living Savior, and that he is risen and he lives to intercede for us even now. And that he and you and the Holy Spirit are calling us right now to come and to receive from you that meal which you have to sustain us